40 greetings and happy Friday to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Our starting line on the sunny side of sports is African athletics. Top long-distance runners from Kenya, Ethiopia, and Uganda are expected to challenge for titles on a big weekend of big city international marathons. There are at least 15 marathons scheduled in Europe, with the spotlight shining brightest on London on Sunday. Meanwhile, the energetic Andy Edwards is in Germany for Sunday's running of the Hamburg Marathon, and Andy caught up with the 2012 Olympic champion from Uganda. Here's Andy.
Standing with the Olympic and world champion. Well, he won that title in 2012 and then the world title in 2013, and that is Stephen Kiprotich of Uganda, a man who's shown what he can do in championship races and, of course, in other races too. And he's in Hamburg for the Hasper Marathon Hamburg on Sunday. Stephen, it's also world championship year, of course, but how are you feeling for the first time you ever run in Hamburg on Sunday?
I'm feeling good and I'm happy to come here to run Hamburg Marathon. It has been always my dream to come to Germany, so I think I have a good time. I'll have a good time on Sunday.
The course record, the men's course record, is 2 hours, 5 minutes and 30 seconds, held by, the current Olympic champion, and of course you are in the same training group, Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya. Have you been in touch with Eliud recently? I mean, is he saying, well, you're going to Hamburg, are you going to take my course record?
Yeah, I have been with Eliud in the training. Even yesterday when I left, I was together with him in the training in the morning. And for him, for me running here, if I run a good time, like to break his course record, I don't think you'll be very happy, because he has run a good time here, and he has run more than what he did here in Hamburg. So if I run under 2 hours and 5 minutes, then he will be happy.
And that also would be a personal best for you. I think it's fair to say you're someone, of course, you've won two global titles. You seem to be at your best in championship races where there aren't the pacemakers. Do you ever think, well, I'd love to run really fast? Of course, if you run 2:05, that is pretty fast. Do you have that feeling inside?
Yes, I have a feeling, because I've done the Olympics and World Championship, and what is missing is I need to push a little bit my PB to a good time. You know, I have now like 2:06. If I run like 2:05 to accompany my titles, I think it will be very good.
What about the World Championships in London this year? Have you already been selected by Uganda, or do you want to run in London?
Oh, at this time, I have not been selected, because I need to run a good time, then I will be selected.
So it's all down to the Hasper Marathon Hamburg on Sunday in terms of World Championships for you, Stephen Kiprotich.
You know, like when I finish on Sunday the race and I run a good time, that's when I will focus on the next race.
Be fascinating. Thank you, Stephen Kiprotich. All the best in Hamburg on Sunday. Thanks, Stephen.
You're welcome.
The energetic Andy Edwards reports while course record holder Eliud Kipchoge is not running Hamburg, the 2016 Olympic champion from Kenya has influenced the race.
We are used to the Kenyan elite talking about the importance of their training camps in developing talent. And among the best right now is one where the undoubted number one is the Olympic men's champion Eliud Kipchoge. The factors that make him the world number one include a sharp mind, as well as formidable physical attributes. And he has encouraged both the 2012 Olympic champion, Stephen Kiprotich of Uganda, and Kenya's debutante, Viola Kibiwot, to run here on Sunday. Eliud Kipchoge holds the men's course record with his time of 2 hours, 5 minutes and 30 seconds, set 4 years ago. He and Stephen Kiprotich are part of the same training group in Kenya, and their rivalry is very much of a friendly nature. Hamburg is known as a fast course, but the winds coming off the North Sea in this port can cause changes late in the race, slowing a fast time by a couple of minutes. And a fast time is the target for Stephen Kiprotich. The Ugandan is renowned as a man who gets it right in the championships, having won the Olympic marathon and then the world title the following year in 2013. His best is 2 hours 6 minutes 33 seconds, not super quick by current standards, and almost 4 minutes slower than the world record. Apart from satisfying a career ambition, Stephen Kiprotich has another, more pressing reason for wanting a top-flight performance. The Ugandan selectors will shortly decide on their marathon team for the World Championships in London this August, and he is hungry for another gold medal to add to the one he won in Moscow 4 years ago. In the absence of the 2012 women's Olympic champion Tiki Galana of Ethiopia because of injury, the fastest woman in the field is the Portuguese Jessica Augusto. But the marathon debut of Kenya's Viola Kibiwot raises expectations. Just like Stephen Kiprotich, she shares the same training camp as Eliud Kipchoge, and it was the men's Olympic champion who encouraged her to leave the track behind late last year. Kibiwot has won 2 world junior titles at cross country, but the longer distances on the road mean entering a new world. Eliud Kipchoge is confident she can prosper, and it might well be on her debut. We'll see if the master of the marathon is right in his judgment. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards in Hamburg.
Joining us now from Abuja, Nigeria, with a package of African sports news is reporter Samson Omale.
We begin in Madagascar, where Kenya and Namibia will meet in the finals of the Under-20 Rugby African Championships, scheduled for Sunday in the capital, Antananarivo. Kenya pulled an upset by beating Zimbabwe 34-24. Gabriel Adero, captain of the Kenya Under-20 team, said the break worked in their favor as they had time to correct their mistakes to go on to pull the win.
After the first half, we went to the changing room and talked about our mistakes, about the penalty and the spreading out wide. And when we were back in the game, we corrected all our mistakes.
Host Madagascar, despite the huge home support, could not match the superior quality of Namibia, who thrashed the host by 77-7. Namibia Under-20 head coach Roger Thompson said the game was won tactically.
We knew that if they're going to throw the ball around, they're going to score some tries. So we worked on our defense, we worked on our line speed to hang on to the ball a bit longer. And when Madagascar have the ball, to put them under pressure, force them to make mistakes.
Now to South Africa, where the Proteas of South Africa have picked a powerful squad for the Champions Trophy in England. Left-arm spinner Kashev Maharaj has earned his maiden one-day international ODI call-up to the 15-man Proteas squad for the ICC Champions. Cricket South Africa convener of selectors Linda Zondi says the selectors have picked a strong squad which covers all of the combinations and conditions on offer for the 8th edition of the 8th team circuit.
I think it's part of our dream to bring that silverware in for South Africa. And I think this is a start. I think the manner that the team has performed within the season has given us assurance and that confidence that we can.
Russell Domenigo, Proteas coach, believes the team have the ability to end a painful 2-decade wait for silverware.
But I'm very confident with this group of players. There's so many young players that haven't experienced those type of disappointments before. Such a good energy amongst the group, such a good set of skills. We go there confident, but by no means arrogant or overconfident.
And now to football news. Ugandan Cranes national head coach Milutin Micho Sredijovic has started the process of screening out the players suitable to don the national team jersey during Sunday's regional tour of West Nile away in Pidhar. 77 players of the expected 79 turned up for training, and coach Sredijovic says his assessment of the players will cover every aspect of the game.
Respecting the great people doing great job with University Football League, we have selected group of 42 players, and in FUVA Big League and in University League, we have looked at the coaches as our main source, because we have watched the game, but coaches are all the time with them. We respected the coaches, our colleagues. that they have proposed us those players.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me. I'm Heather Maxwell for Music Time in Africa. Every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
The National Basketball Association playoffs continue later Friday night with three first-round games. Our Voice of America basketball fans will remember all series in the NBA playoffs are best of seven games, so once a team gets four wins, it advances to the next round. The Chicago Bulls host the top-seeded Boston Celtics in Game 3 of their series. So far, Chicago has been bullish on Boston and leads 2-0. Triple-double man Russell Westbrook and the Oklahoma City Thunder are at home against James Harden and the Houston Rockets. The Rockets lead this series 2-0. And the Utah Jazz will host the Los Angeles Clippers. This series is tied at 1-1. In results Thursday night, LeBron James and the defending champion Cleveland Cavaliers rallied from a 25-point halftime deficit to beat the host Indiana Pacers 119-114. It's the greatest second-half comeback in playoff history. LeBron turned in another superlative all-around performance, 41 points, 13 rebounds, and 12 assists. And afterwards, LeBron talked about Cleveland's big comeback.
They definitely jumped all over us, and we knew we had to take, one of their punches, but they gave us a flurry, more than we expected. But, it's just, I got to keep your composure and understand that it's a 48-minute game and, at halftime, just looking at the guys, just telling them, let's just get a couple stops. We can't erase a 26-point game in one possession. We just got to get stops and let's execute, get the ball flying and moving around. And, once we did that, we got our composure, we got some stops, we started to play our game, and the momentum changed for us.
The momentum definitely belongs to LeBron and the Cavaliers in this series. They lead the Pacers 3-0, and the Cavs can advance to the next round with a victory Sunday in Indianapolis, Indiana. Now, 28 of LeBron's 41 points came in the second half. He says Cleveland's defense sparked its offense.
Best way to get offense is to defend and create missed shots. We did a better job of contesting shots. We did a better job of keeping bodies on bodies. And, in the third quarter, it allowed us to get back into the game, and I was scoring them 35-17. So, the first half was not us, but they made it not be us, by you know, giving us 37 in both quarters. So, you know, we just had to change that approach, and we did that in the second half.
In other NBA playoff results Thursday night, the Milwaukee Bucks battered the visiting Toronto Raptors 104-77. Milwaukee now leads this series 2-1. Forward Chris Middleton scored a game-high 20 points for the Bucks, while Giannis Antetokounmpo added 19 points. And the Memphis Grizzlies defeated the San Antonio Spurs 105-94. San Antonio now leads this series 2-1. Point guard Mike Conley scored a game-high 24 points for Memphis, and he also handed out 8 assists. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOASunnySports. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings and happy Friday, Andrew.
Sporty greetings and happy Friday to you as well.
What's trending in the sports world, Andrew?
Well, sad news out of the world of soccer. Hugo Ehiog, former defender for Aston Villa and Middlesbrough, and the English national team, dying at the age of 44 of cardiac arrest. Born to Nigerian parents, but born in London, played for a number of clubs, but probably those two that I mentioned are the best known. And also best known perhaps more recently as the under-23 coach for Tottenham. That was actually where he was at Tottenham's training facility yesterday when he collapsed, was taken to the hospital, and very sadly passed away this morning. So fans across football and social media, regardless of team allegiance, are mourning this sudden loss. Somebody very well known, especially to English football fans. And there's a video going around the internet of Paul Merson. He's a former footballer, and he was a teammate of Hugo's, and he breaks down, and this video is spreading across the internet. He said what a great guy he was. He was a mountain among men, and he cites the Billy Joel song. He said, only the good die young, and that was certainly the case for him, dying at the age of 44. A lot of people pointing out to Hugo's last tweet. It was sent out about 3 weeks ago. And he tweeted that he was walking through London and he saw a homeless girl and he gave her £10, not because she asked, but because he wanted to help. And he said it felt so good to do something to help. And people said that that last tweet really encapsulates who he was as a person. He was an amazing footballer, but he was a more amazing friend, colleague, and just general human being. So very much, very a lot of sadness, very much missed among his friendly friends and fans around the world.
Very sad story, Andrew. What else is trending?
Well, you were just talking about LeBron James unleashing on the Pacers in that epic comeback. The largest deficit overcome in NBA postseason history, led by LeBron's 41 points. And this has kicked off a social media debate. Is LeBron the greatest of all time, the GOAT, as it were? His 17 postseason triple-doubles is now second on the list. Magic Johnson has 30. But as many people point out, Michael Jordan only had 2 postseason triple-doubles. So they're saying LeBron is far and away ahead of him. However, the counter argument to that is that Michael Jordan has 6 championship rings. LeBron has 3 out of 7 tries. MJ went 6-0 in the championships. So there's a lot of back and forth. It's hard to compare. There are different times, different eras. But that is a hot debate now on social media about who is the greatest of all time. I think it boils down to whether you're a Cavs fan or a Bulls fan, whether you grew up maybe in the 90s or you're growing up today, who your idol is. But that debate, I don't think it's ever going to have an answer or ever really stop. I think it's going to continue for as long as LeBron's playing.
Well, it is tough to argue with Michael Jordan's championship rings in terms of success.
Yeah, well, that's the thing that MJ fans are pointing to, the saying, look at the record in the finals, look at the championships. But LeBron's fans are saying, look at all of these other instances where he really carried the Cavaliers, especially last night with his amazing performance in that game. So again, I don't think there's either a right or wrong answer, but it's going to be a debate that continues, hot debate that continues for years to come.
And as I mentioned earlier, Andrew, the Cavs can wrap up their first round series against the Pacers with a victory Sunday in Indianapolis. It looks like they're starting to round into form and maybe say, if you want that trophy, you're going to have to come through us.
You know, there are fans I saw that already penciled in the Cavs versus Golden State in the finals, so we'll see if that comes to fruition.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, speaking of LeBron James, LeBron is, of course, well-known for his basketball acumen, but also known for stopping his social media use during the playoffs, getting away from social media in order to focus on the task at hand. And we have another player now who may be following in his footsteps, none other than Steph Curry, who's announced that he is off social media. He has deleted all of the social media apps from his phone. He vows not to be on social media for the duration of the playoffs, telling U.S. Sports Network ESPN, when you're really trying to zone in and keep your focus, you don't want to have any unnecessary distractions during this point in the season. We have goals to accomplish, and we want to make sure you're giving it your all. So, again, this has kicked off a debate. Is Steph Curry copying LeBron? Is he taking a page out of his book and copying what he's doing? Regardless, and that, again, that is another debate that's going to go on unabated. A lot of fans really pleased with this move. They think it shows a level of maturity, and they think it shows a little level of commitment. So fans are pretty happy that he's off social media. Even though they can't follow him, see what he's tweeting about or posting about, I think they'd rather have a championship from him.
Andrew, I seem to remember last year, while Steph Curry now maintaining social media silence, his wife was pretty active on social media.
Yeah, so I no word yet if she's going to be in solidarity with him and also get off social media, but that might be a clue as to how he's doing through his wife's social media accounts.
What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, of course, this weekend is the hotly anticipated matchup between Real Madrid and Barcelona, El Clásico. So Twitter has done something really cool as a result, or ahead of this big matchup. They've issued a series of emojis that you get when you put in certain hashtags. Now, they've done this before for things like the World Series or the Super Bowl, the World Cup, the Olympics, but they're doing it for El Clásico. So hashtag El Clásico, you get a jersey that pops up that's half Barca, half Real Madrid, white on one side, and it's got the Real Madrid, the blue, and the red on the other. Then you have hashtag Hala Madrid, gives you the Madrid logo. Hashtag Forza Barca gives you the Barcelona logo. And then 6 players, 3 from each of the 2 teams, Messi, Suarez, and Pique. And then Cristiano Ronaldo, Benzema, and Ramos. Mm. So you actually get a little emoji that is their head. And the Messi one, I got to say, looks pretty much like Messi. The Ronaldo one, they all look pretty, you know, they're a little cartoonish, but they are all pretty true to form. They look like the players they're supposed to represent. However, fans making some jokes, they said hashtag Neymar is just going to be the crying emoji after that loss to Juventus where he was crying. But
Knocked
out of the Champions League. But no Neymar emoji, but these other 6 players, you can see them all over Twitter this weekend.
Thanks, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Have a good weekend, Andrew.
You too.
And that wraps up the April 21st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Peter Hundley. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Uganda should take stock of the progress it has made in creating a healthier population. According to the recently released Uganda Demographic Health Survey, there are some clear and positive trends. More women delivering babies in health facilities, substantial reductions in infant and under five mortality rates, and an increased percentage of households with at least one insecticide-treated bed net to combat malaria. But while these statistics are encouraging, they mask a troublesome reality. The health of most Ugandans remains poor, with children especially at risk. There are many reasons to explain this situation, but most boil down to the fact that the country's healthcare system is under-resourced, poorly managed, and unable to meet the demands of a growing population. The evidence is clear. In developing countries, a government's investment in the health and well-being of its citizens is key to generating prosperity and progress. President Museveni pledged in the 2001 Abuja Declaration and reaffirmed in 2013 to dedicate 15% of the national budget to health. Today, that number stands at just 7%. Moreover, the government of Uganda's proposed budget for the next fiscal year recommends nearly a one-third cut for the Ministry of Health, plus reductions in other health investments. More must be done to meet the health care needs of Uganda's citizens, especially its youngest and most vulnerable. There are still at least 2.4 million Ugandan children under five who are chronically malnourished. Only two-thirds of people living with HIV are receiving life-saving antiretroviral therapy, and there are 8.5 million cases of malaria annually. The proposed reductions to the country's health budget will put these lives in greater jeopardy. The United States has done its part to help build a healthier Uganda. Last year alone, we invested nearly $500 million, more than 1 trillion Ugandan shillings, in the country's health sector to control the HIV/AIDS epidemic, combat tuberculosis, improve maternal and child health, and control malaria. This work is saving lives and improving the health of millions of Ugandans, and we are proud to contribute to such efforts. The U.S. government calls upon the government of Uganda to increase investment in the health of its people so Uganda can reach its full economic potential.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Have you heard the latest news? In Mali, what is the Golden Voice of Africa doing in the U.S.? In Ghana, who came out on top at the Ghana Music Awards?
You're too short to be telling tall tales. Look at me.
Who's dropping a new album featuring Afrobeat original Tony Allen? Find out all of this and more this Sunday. You're gonna love my interview with Salif Keita. And happy 60th, Ghana. It's music time in Africa. Tune in to VOA Africa's FM station, Sunday, 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Next on Let's Talk. Interior design. What does it take to be one? Is it for a specific gender only? Well, join me next Monday on Let's Talk, and we'll discuss this, of course, in our usual light-hearted manner. So please, stay tuned.